Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times newspaper for the week of Sunday, February 27th, 2022. One note before we begin, because there were very few local news articles this past week in the San Angelo paper, this program will be only 30 minutes in length this week. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for February 2022. Tom Green County, as of March 1st, City of San Angelo, 40,815 positive cases reported. 12 new positive tests. Deaths, 547. 353 from Tom Green County and 194 from other counties. 6 currently hospitalized. 181 active cases. San Angelo man rejects plea deal for aggravated assault charge after deputy dragged by SUV. By Rosanna Frere, published March 3rd. Nearly 2 years after a Tom Green County deputy was dragged by a vehicle, a man has rejected a plea deal for the assault. On Wednesday, March 2nd, Cody Witt attended a plea hearing in the 391st District Court in connection to the aggravated assault. The hearing began with confusion over who would serve as Witt's attorney. Witt had been appointed an attorney and hired one. Witt, 23, wanted an extension so his hired lawyer could review the evidence of the case, as well as take over his other charge of possession of a controlled substance. The state prosecutors offered Witt a plea deal of 12 years in jail time for the aggravated assault charge and the possession charge. Prosecutors told Witt the plea deal would expire after the day of the hearing. Judge Brad Goodwin explained to Witt that if he rejected the deal, the cases would go to trial and the prosecutors would have the option to motion to stack the charges. This means, if convicted, he would serve one charge after the other and not at the same time, such as the plea deal offered. The assault charge, a first-degree felony, is punishable for 5 to 99 years, and the second-degree felony of possession is punishable for 2 to 20 years. Witt refused the deal. Goodwin said a jury panel would be available on March 14th. Deputy dragged nearly 500 feet by vehicle. About 4:30 p.m. Tuesday, May 18th, 2021, a deputy recognized the driver of a Honda SUV who had a warrant for misdemeanor theft. The deputy conducted a traffic stop on the SUV near the intersection of FM 388 and Longhorn Drive, according to the arrest affidavit. The driver stepped out of the vehicle, and the deputy informed him about the warrant. The driver attempted to return to his vehicle, and a fight between the driver and deputy ensued, records state. The driver backed the SUV up, then accelerated forward while the deputy had most of the deputy's body inside the cabin. The deputy's legs were hanging out of the open driver's side door, according to the affidavit. After being dragged 492 feet, the deputy was able to stop the driver and deployed a taser to gain compliance, records state. Two Good Samaritans, who witnessed the incident as it occurred, responded and assisted the deputy by aiding in the restraint of the suspect, a news release stated. The deputy was treated for non-life-threatening injuries at Shannon Hospital, a news release stated. The deputy was in fear of being seriously injured or killed and received multiple bruises and scrapes, according to the affidavit. Authorities arrested Witt, who was also taken to Shannon Medical Center for evaluation. Which Tom Green County primary races are going to a runoff? By Elena Edgen, published March 2nd. A busy March primary election involving 23 candidates across 8 Tom Green County races ended with 3 runoffs along with some close calls and landslides. Here's a look at some of the biggest takeaways from March 1st, 2022. The March primaries in Tom Green County saw 13,277 voters. 19.06% of those registered voiced their opinions. The two races with the most candidates were Tom Green County Judge at 4 and Tom Green County Precinct 4 with 6. These races, along with Justice of the Peace Precinct 3, will likely return to voters in a runoff election in May. While the preliminary results have been announced, these are not finalized until the votes are canvassed by the parties. Here's what the unofficial results showed. Multiple Tom Green County runoffs set for May election. Three races will likely return on May 24th for runoff elections. These three did not have a candidate receive 50.1% of votes, which is the threshold to avoid a runoff. The runoff for Tom Green County Judge will likely see Lane Carter and Todd Coles. This preliminary, which included Joe Hyde and Tommy J. Usury, saw Carter and Coles maintain an early lead that continued to grow. The unofficial final results for this race were: in the lead was Lane Carter with 3,878 total votes, 2,232 on election day, 1,522 early, and 124 absentees. This totaled to 35.12% of votes. Close behind was Todd Coles with 3,534 total votes, 1,862 on election day, 1,578 early votes, and 94 absentees. This totaled 32% of votes. Third place went to Joe Hyde with 2,001 total votes, 1,082 on election day, 852 early, and 67 absentees. Fourth place went to Tommy J. Usury with 1,630 total votes, 884 on election day, 692 early, and 54 absentees. The race for County Commissioner Precinct 4, which had 6 candidates, will also likely go to a runoff election between Sean Nanny and Bill Ford. These two candidates stayed neck and neck, both maintaining distance on the rest of the pack throughout the night. The results were: Sean Nanny with the most votes at 799, 434 on election day, 346 early, and 19 absentees. This was 26.06% of the votes. Just behind was Bill Ford with 781 total votes, 406 on election day, 344 early, and 31 absentees. This was 25.47% of the votes. In third, Lori Wilson received 543 total votes, 266 on election day, 263 early, and 14 absentees. Fourth went to Dustin Barton with 407 total votes, 255 on election day, 143 early, and 9 absentees. Coco Simpson took the fifth spot with 379 total votes, 210 on election day, 158 early, and 11 absentees. In sixth, Derek Garnett received 157 total votes, 100 on election day, 54 early, and 3 absentees. Another runoff will have Ron Perry and Stacy Speck aiming for the Justice of the Peace Precinct 3 spot. This preliminary had these two along with Martha Muro as the candidates. Those results were: taking the most votes, Ron Perry received 1,162 total votes, 645 on election day, 466 early, and 51 absentees. This took 47.18% of votes. In a close second, Stacy Speck took 1,095 total votes, 588 on election day, 471 early, and 36 absentees. This totaled 44.46%. Martha Muro took third with 206 total votes, 106 on election day, 87 early, and 3 absentees. Who won in the Tom Green County March preliminary election? Here are the presumed winners from contested local races. County Court at Law, number 2, Andrew Graves, who gained 5,368 total votes for 50.56%, just ahead of Leland Lacey's 5,250. County Clerk, Christina Ubando, who earned 6,086 total votes for 63.53%. Lupe Gomez had 3,439 total votes. Justice of the Peace Precinct 1. Incumbent Susan Werner had 940 total votes for landslide, 75.68%. Levi Vance had 302 total votes. Justice of the Peace Precinct 2. Tom Daniel took the lead with 1,871 total votes for 52.70%, pulling slightly ahead of Chris Durantine's total of 1,674. Democratic Party County Chairperson Mercedes De La Cruz won by a landslide with 1,177 total votes for 76.73%. Michael Lepak Sr. had 357 total votes. Unopposed winners: County Chairman Bruce Burkett, County Court at Law number 1, Ben Nolan, District Clerk Anthony Monaco, County Treasurer Diana M. Speaker, County Commissioner Precinct 2, Sammy Farmer, Justice of the Peace Precinct 4, Eddie Howard. Celebrate Dr. Seuss's birthday in San Angelo with green eggs and ham on a tortilla. By Rosanna Frere, published March 1st. Are you looking to celebrate Dr. Seuss's birthday the West Texas way? Join the Adult Literacy Council with some green eggs and ham on a flour tortilla. Wednesday, March 2nd is National Read Across America Day, also known as Dr. Seuss's birthday. The Adult Literacy Council of the Concho Valley is holding a celebration on Sunday, March 6th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Emmanuel Episcopal Church Parish Hall, 3 South Randolph Street. There will be birthday cake, crafts, green eggs and ham on a tortilla, and of course books at the free event. The event is targeted for kindergarten through 4th grade. All children will receive a book. For more information, call 325-657-0013. San Angelo man charged with aggravated sexual assault, hitting woman with metal bat. By Elena Edgen, published March 1st. An injured woman told police that a San Angelo man struck her with a metal bat, then forced her to commit sexual acts, which later resulted in his arrest, according to an arrest affidavit obtained Monday. About 10 minutes after midnight, Friday, February 25th, police found an injured woman at the intersection of Knickerbocker Road and South Bryant Boulevard. She told officers a man had hit her with a metal bat multiple times at a residence in the 800 block of Murphy Street, Record State. Shannon Medical Center treated the woman, whose hand was swollen and purple, for possible fractures on both arms. An officer noted she had blood near her right ear, according to the affidavit. While at the hospital, the woman told officers the man picked her up from a hotel in the 400 block of West Beauregard Avenue. While at the man's residence, a confrontation occurred after he behaved disrespectful toward her, according to statements the woman made to police. The man picked up a metal bat and started hitting her with it, according to the affidavit. The woman told police she began to cry and he sexually assaulted her. While doing this, she told officers he said, "You did this to yourself," and "You should have known this was going to happen," according to the affidavit. Police found a metal bat outside the residence. They attempted to speak with the man, who refused to answer questions without a lawyer present, record state. Police arrested Carlos Edgar Morales, 39, Friday on suspicion of aggravated sexual assault, a first-degree felony punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $250,000 bond as of 10:15 a.m. Monday, February 28, according to online jail records. Get out and vote. Governor Greg Abbott makes campaign stop in San Angelo ahead of primary, by John Tufts, published February 28. Texas Governor Greg Abbott made a campaign stop Monday morning in San Angelo, roughly 24 hours ahead of Election Day, March 1st. Eyeing a third term in office, Abbott had a simple message for his supporters. Get out there and vote. It is absolutely essential that you go vote tomorrow, Abbott told a crowd of more than 50 people who gathered Monday, February 28th, on the second floor lobby of the Cactus Hotel, 36 East Tuig Avenue. While Abbott is considered the front runner in the Republican gubernatorial race, he faces seven challengers, including Texas Republican Party Chairman Alan West and former state senator Don Huffins. For roughly 30 minutes, Abbott spoke about conservative values, rattling off a litany of complaints against what he called the leftist radical agenda of both U.S. President Biden and former Democratic U.S. Representative Beto O'Rourke. Abbott took several jabs Monday at O'Rourke, the current Democratic frontrunner for Texas governor. You know exactly what Beto said about your Second Amendment rights. He's going to come, confiscate your guns, and take them away, Abbott said, before quipping, I don't think he's ever met people here in San Angelo, Texas. O'Rourke, who visited San Angelo during a campaign stop in November, recently backed away from comments he made in his 2020 Democratic presidential campaign, in which he said, hell yes, we're going to take away your AR-15, your AK-47. O'Rourke made the comments a month after a deadly mass shooting in El Paso. Earlier in February, while speaking to reporters in Tyler, Texas, O'Rourke shifted his tone, saying he had no interest in taking assault weapons from gun owners and that he wants to defend the Second Amendment with policy driven by law enforcement. On Monday, Abbott called policies supported by O'Rourke and other radical leftists as reckless, touting his hard stance on illegal immigration at the Texas-Mexico border, discouraging critical race theory, and bolstering the private energy sector instead of the Green New Deal, which Abbott said would crush energy jobs. The energy jobs made America energy independent. I'm running for re-election to make sure we protect those high-paying energy jobs in the great state of Texas, Abbott said. In concluding his campaign stop, Abbott encouraged Republican voters in San Angelo not to sit idly by on Election Day, nor in November, but to cast their ballots for conservative values. If you don't vote, you risk compromising the values you believe right here in San Angelo, Texas, Abbott said, adding, we're going to turn out a big vote here in San Angelo and across the state, and we're going to do what needs to be done to make sure we keep Texas the best state in the greatest country in the history of the world. Lubbock woman shot at North Abilene Hotel has died. Second victim in Sunday shooting. From staff reports, published February 28th. The woman who sustained a critical gunshot wound in a North Abilene hotel Sunday has died, and both she and a man who police found dead have been identified by police. Cheyenne Villarreal, 24, of Lubbock, died Monday in an Abilene hospital, according to an Abilene Police Department news release. A preliminary investigation indicates she was shot by Cedric Braxton Jr., 30, of Cleveland, Ohio. He then shot himself, the release said. Braxton was found with Villarreal in the hotel room in the 3500 block of West Lake Road on FM 600 just after 6 a.m. Police said in an earlier news release that the two people apparently knew each other. The investigation continues. Villarreal's would be the third of the year in Abilene. On February 1st, Paul John Dela Cruz, 35, of Abilene, was shot to death at an apartment complex in the 300 block of North Mockingbird Lane. Two other people were injured. On January 20th, Samuel Sean Berry was shot to death in the 200 block of Miss Ellie Lane in far south Abilene. A woman also was shot and a man stabbed in what police called a domestic disturbance. Treasure Hunt and Spring Break Camp set to begin at Railway Museum of San Angelo. From staff reports published February 26th. March is a busy month at the Railway Museum of San Angelo. The second Saturday of every month is always special, with the Choo Choo motorized train, pop-up vendor booths, food trucks, and entertainment. March 12th is the kickoff of a citywide treasure hunt based on the book San Angelo A to Z, A Young Reader's Guide, written by Linda Thorson Bond. Dr. Bond will read from the book at 2 p.m. inside the Railway Museum, which is one of the locations in the book. Each person who takes a selfie at all 26 featured locations in the book, from Arts to Zapata's, is entered in the treasure hunt. In addition to a drawing November 26th from all the completed entries, there is a prize for the first person to photograph and post photos of themselves at all the locations. The book is $13. There is no charge for entry into the treasure hunt. The Railway Museum's first spring break camp is March 14th through the 17th. There are four sessions designed for ages 11 to 15 and 7 to 10 years old. In the tracking history camp from 9 a.m. to noon, students step back over 100 years ago and become part of history at the Railway Museum. They'll learn the secrets of old-time railroads with the tools, tricks, and life on the tracks. Tracking history for ages 11 to 15 is Monday, March 14th, and for ages 7 to 10, Wednesday, March 16th. The Steaming into STEM camp focuses on science, technology, engineering, and math. From 9 a.m. to noon, students will learn how to code, railway-style Morse code, that is. They'll figure out the scale and grade of big and little trains and check out technology that makes the engines run. Steaming into STEM for ages 11 to 15 is Tuesday, March 15th, and for ages 7 to 10, Thursday, March 16th. Each session is $25 per student. Register at sanangelorailway.org/events/spring break. San Angelo man arrested for downloading child pornography, by Rosanna Frere, published February 25th. A San Angelo man has been arrested for downloading child pornography, according to court documents. The Texas Department of Public Safety Criminal Investigations Division was conducting a possession of child pornography investigation. During the investigation, evidence was received from a P2P file sharing network showing a suspect had downloaded child pornography. Investigators were able to find a location and possible suspect, which led to a search warrant at James Smith's house, where the downloading was taking place. During the execution of the warrant, electronic evidence was seized containing the pornography, the document stated. During a voluntary interview with Smith, 28, he admitted to using the P2P file-sharing network to download and view the pornography. The agent investigating the case found images of child pornography on Smith's electronic devices. He was placed under arrest for possession of child pornography and booked into Tom Green County Jail on February 23rd and was released the next day on a $25,000 bond. San Angelo man arrested after allegedly placing knife to woman's neck, by Rosanna Frere, published February 25th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after allegedly placing a knife to a woman's neck, threatening to kill her if she called police. On February 17th, the man and woman were in an argument in the 1300 block of South David Street when she attempted to leave the house, according to court documents. She said he chased her and forced her back into the house and caused her to fall on the ground. Once they were back in the house, he locked the door so she couldn't leave, documents stated. She said he kicked her and began to choke her with his right forearm, causing her to almost pass out. She told police he then displayed a knife and put the blade to her neck and said he would kill her if the police were called. The document stated she had fresh bruising and scratching that were consistent with her statement. Meka Askew, 28, was arrested on February 23rd for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remains in Tom Green County Jail as of 11:30 a.m. February 25th. And now here's the weekly column by Allison Watkins. Controlling stickers is important for maintaining an enjoyable lawn. Published February 25th. There have been many questions already this year from homeowners wanting to gain control of weeds in the lawn, especially to get rid of khaki weed and other stickers. A lawn isn't very useful or enjoyable when it's full of painful stickers. Khaki weed won't be coming up for a while, but it's a perennial that will resprout from the roots later this year. And the key to killing it with herbicides is to catch it early when it's young and actively growing. Large mature plants will not be easily killed. But even more helpful than correct herbicide usage is prevention with good cultural management. Khaki weed is very opportunistic and grows in bare spots and in thin, stressed turf. Deep mulch, dense ground covers, and healthy, thick turf are the most important things that can keep khaki weed from taking over the landscape. Something must occupy the space, or else the weeds will just keep coming back. Good cultural management of turf grass includes proper mowing, irrigation, fertilization, and pest control. Visit https://aggieturf.tamu.edu/publications for some helpful guides on lawn care. Mowing and irrigation have the biggest impact on the lawn being dense and healthy. It's not just about finding the perfect fertilizer or pesticide. Mow at the correct height, about 0.5 inch for hybrid Bermuda grass, 1 inch for common Bermuda grass, and 2.5 inches for St. Augustine. Often enough so that no more than one-third of the height of the grass is removed at once. This will have a big impact on improving turf grass density and appearance. The average homeowner mows about once a month in the warm season, but weekly mowing during the spring and summer is important for a thick lawn. Once it warms up, water deeply but infrequently. 1 inch of water once per week is sufficient in the hot, dry part of the summer, and every 2 or 3 weeks is enough when it's cooler in the spring and fall. To find out how long to water to get 1 inch, set out some catch cans or even some clean, empty tuna cans and water until an inch is measured in the cups. Lawns that are watered too frequently or more than once per week have shallow root systems and are not able to make it through the hot, dry summer weather. Deep-rooted grass will be much better at surviving the summer heat, will help conserve water, and better prevent weeds. Utilize the free tool watermyyard.org, provided by Texas A&M, to know how long to run the irrigation system each week based on local weather station data. It's not a quick fix, but establishing a thicker, healthier lawn with deep roots or using mulch or ground covers in beds will be a permanent, sustainable solution for preventing weed infestations. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.